You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Ha-cha-cha-cha-cha!
For the first time on Special Edition DVD, Walt Disney's jazzy classic, The Aristocats.
Meow.
Meet a wealthy duchess and her three adorable kittens.
Why should you be her?
Because I'm a lady, that's why.
You're not a lady.
You're nothing but a sister.
They've been catnapped.
They're gone.
By a greedy butler out to steal their fortune.
What's going to happen to us?
Now it's up to O'Malley, the streetwise alley cat, to save the day.
Yeah.
As he and his friends help Duchess and her kittens find their way home.
Charge!
Lay some skin on me, scat cat. This is outrageous and crazy.
Quiet! With bonus features including an all-new virtual kitten game and a newly rediscovered song.
Everybody wants to be a cat.
Walt Disney's The Aristocats, coming soon to Special Edition DVD.
Hello and welcome to the 88th episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave Joe Mike, and tonight I'm joined once again by Kevin Optimus Solo Thompson. Hello.
Oodalali.
And making her return is the rising star, Tara. Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
Everything's going good, thanks. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good.
That's not convincing.
Cheer
up, Mike.
Shut the hell up.
I'm going to inject you with a 5-hour energy drink.
Plain ice.
No. Do they make a 5-hour sleep drink? Because I would take that.
Not before you're done with the podcast.
No, I meant after this hour.
No sleeping through the podcast.
Oh, please. I'm sure you've slept through a few episodes.
Only the Star Wars one.
That has nothing to do with Tooncast, but anyway.
That's true.
Today we're going to be going back into the Disney Vault and talking about Aristocats.
Yes, we are.
The Aristocats.
I don't think it really matters what character Phil Harris ever voices. I see nothing but Baloo every time I hear his voice. But we'll get to that. Anything else we need to bring up? Shut up, Kevin.
No, nothing else we need to bring up except for that Mike hasn't seen the movie in its entirety.
I have too. Shut the hell up.
Skipped multiple.
Did not. Shut up. Go with the history lesson already, you asshole.
All right. For those of you that actually may want to watch the entire movie, The Aristocats is an animated feature. Obviously, it's produced by Walt Disney, and it was made in 1970, and it is number 20 out of the Walt Disney Animated Classics series. It is based on a story by Tom McGowan and Tom Rowe and revolves around a family of aristocratic cats and how an alley cat acquaintance helps them after a butler has kidnapped them to gain his mistress's fortune. And obviously the title is a pun on the word aristocrat. The film is noted for being the very last film to be approved by Walt Disney himself, as he died in late 1966 before the film was actually released. Garnered positive reviews and was a box office success. It is also the last Disney film to end with the words "a Walt Disney production," as it would be changed to "Walt Disney Productions" to appear under the end logo. So there's a little bit of trivia right off the bat. So, Tara, what do you remember about Aristocats?
What I remember about this movie is the humor.
Yeah.
A lot of humor, and it was cute. I thought the cats were cute. I thought the storyline was really engaging, and the characters were really memorable. That's basically what I remember.
Yeah, I remember, you know, I've always been a bigger fan of cats than dogs because dogs are stupid. But anyway, that's another story. But I actually don't remember this one a whole lot from my childhood. I remember liking it when I was a kid, but I honestly couldn't have told you a lot about the plot until I rewatched it, and then it all came flooding back. But I definitely remember the music. I remember some of the main characters. And, you know, it was just, like you said, it was a fun, cute movie. I don't know. I remember good things about it from my childhood. So, Mike, you've never seen it before.
The whole time I was watching this, I was like, oh, it's 101 Dalmatians with a plot that doesn't involve puppy fur. I was like, holy crap, the villain wants the millions. He wants to get rid of the animals. Yeah, it's 101 Dalmatians for cats. Lovely.
Not really.
It takes place in France. Oh, God.
It's not really 101 Dalmatians.
No, 101 Dalmatians is 10 times better. But anyway.
No, it's not.
Yes,
it's really not.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But anyway.
It's a completely different story, though.
Whatever.
You're missing the whole part about the Aristocats.
It might be a completely different story. It might be set in a completely different place, but it's the same overall premise.
No, because the
person wants employers millions, gets rid of cats to do so. 101 Dalmatian. Person wants puppies for fur, and she's going to eventually kill the puppies. You're killing puppies, you're killing kittens. It's the same damn thing.
In 101 Dalmatians, there's a whole storyline about the difference between aristocratic society and alley cat society, and the love story, and how you separate that and go home to your owner compared to living out on the streets with... It doesn't even talk anything about the two different societies mixing and meshing, so it's not really the same story. It has parts that are the same, but it's a completely different story.
Yeah.
The overall premise is the same.
Well, let's just agree on one thing. They both have cases of animal cruelty, okay?
Yes, they both have similar parts, but it's not all the same story.
It's basically the same premise in both films.
No. Sorry.
When it comes to the animals, when it comes to the animals, outside of the fact they don't, outside of the fact that, what's his name, Edgar doesn't want the cat fur. I mean, it's the same thing. They're both, Cruella and Edgar should get fucking married, for Christ's sake. They both want to kill animals.
Yeah. Giving them sleeping pills?
The title, that's why they titled it that, because the whole story was supposed to be more about the aristocratic society mixing and meshing with street society. I mean, yes, it has some plot parts that are the same, but it's not the major premise.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mike. Moving right along.
Yes.
Well, I mean, come on. The butler puts, like, a whole bottle of sleeping pills in their food.
This one is a little more violent.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I'm like, no. Well, I'm like, no, don't do that.
For some strange reason, when I saw that whole scene, first thing that popped into my head was, what's his name? From Office Space.
Don't watch that show.
What's his name? Milton. At the very end of the movie, I'm going to put strychnine in the guacamole.
I remember that.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Yes. What else do we want to say about this movie before we go on to the characters?
We'll get into stuff as we go. It has some great characters, though.
Oh, yes. Alley Cat. Love him.
Yeah, Thomas O'Malley is just so cool in this movie. Like, if you could be Thomas O'Malley, you would. Like, he is just the essence of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, like Mike mentioned before, he is played by Phil Harris, who did Baloo and who did Little John in Robin Hood, who's just a great voice actor. I mean, he uses the same voice in all his roles, but it's just such a great voice.
Yeah.
So he's the main character. Then you have Duchess, who is... I don't really like Ava Gabor that much, but she's the voice of Duchess. And then you have the three little cats, Toulouse, Marie, and Berlioz, who... their voice actors are not important because they never voice anything again. Then you have Madame Adelaide Bonfamille, who's played by Hermione Baddeley, who's done she was in Mary Poppins and a couple other things for Disney. Not a whole lot in animation except for this, but she did a lot of more stuff in like live action. And her butler, Edgar, and her lawyer, George Hucourt. I don't remember if that's how you say his last name or not, but those are the main characters as far as the cats and then the humans involved with it. And then we obviously have some pretty cool and some pretty annoying mixture of side characters.
Mostly annoying.
Well, I love Roquefort, the mouse.
Yeah, I like his voice.
Well, Sterling Holloway is a genius.
Yeah.
He's probably one of the most famous Disney voice actors of all time, and he's excellent. You have the horse, who is actually Ruth Buzzi, who does a lot more animated series, not so much movies after this. You have a couple geniuses, also voice actors, Pat Buttram as Napoleon and George Lindsay as Lafayette. George Lindsay was Trigger in Robin Hood. And, I love those two as they play off each other because they have two phenomenal voices. Then the annoying characters for me are the three geese, Abigail, Amelia, and Gabble, and Uncle Waldo. Even though Uncle Waldo is voiced by Bill Thompson, who's pretty good, I don't care for the geese at all. I don't care for the part of the movie that they're in. so I could do without them. And then you have the Cat Band, or the Scat Cat, and Shungon, Hit Cat, Peppo, and Billy Boss, who, wow, Thurl Ravenscroft, Lord Tim Hudson, Paul Winchell, and Scatman Crothers.
Oh, yeah.
And then Peter Renaday played a few small parts, too. But, Tara, which characters do you like the most?
The characters I like the most? I love Thomas O'Malley.
Yeah.
I also love one of the kittens. It's the one with the blue bow tie.
Toulos, remember? Or how
yeah,
you say it.
Yeah. The funniest part with him is when the sister is like, "I'm a lady, that's why I go first." And he's like, "You're not a lady, you're nothing but a sister." That was the funniest thing ever. And, just those are two of my favorite characters.
Yeah. I don't really care for the sister very much. I don't know why. I don't know if she's just a little too... I mean, obviously, she's supposed to be aristocratic and whatnot. But, yeah, I like Toulos. I even like Berlioz a little bit better. But I think both of the male kittens are pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the boys.
You know what I just realized? The two children sisters, the one from this and the one from Lady and the Tramp, two you don't like.
Yeah. I don't know. It's something about those sisters.
Yeah.
But, no, I like Napoleon and Lafayette. I think they're pretty cool. Like I said, I could deal without the geese. And the band of cats, some of them I like and some of them I don't like. Was there any... Or, Mike, you didn't say anything about which characters your favorite or which ones you liked.
Probably has to be Thomas O'Malley, the alley cat, just because... I mean, I like his little, I guess, band of merry cats or whatever. But,
Scat Cats Gang.
Yeah, there you go. Scat. Is there
I think that's what they call it.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't catch that till you. I caught it when I was watching it, but I was like, it didn't click.
Yeah.
In my head, and I was like, oh yeah, that's interesting.
Like, why is Jazz in a cat outfit? Jazz in a cat outfit singing jazz.
That's epic.
you know what, Kev? I have to agree with you about the comment you made about the geese. I hated them.
Yeah, they were just annoying. I mean, I guess Uncle Waldo was funny for maybe a second, but I was just
drunk.
Like, somebody shoot those geese.
He's drunk. He's the drunk guy.
I like how they don't hide it at all, either.
Yeah, the geese for me are kind of like the fairies, or not the fairies, the mermaids from Peter Pan.
Yeah,
they're just total ancillary characters that are so unnecessary.
Yeah. No, I just didn't like them at all. Their whole scene, like, that is one scene in the movie that I wouldn't mind skipping if I watch it again, because I'm just like, I seriously, there's as much animal cruelty as is in this movie, why couldn't we have just shot the geese?
It's hunting season.
Yeah, put one more scene with Napoleon and Lafayette the dogs, or put one more scene with Scat Cat's gang, and then take the geese out.
It's duck hunt.
Yeah, duck hunt.
Oh, yeah, that's hilarious. I will say at first when I saw Napoleon and what's the other dog's name?
Lafayette.
Napoleon and Lafayette. When I first saw Napoleon, I thought it was another, not ripoff, but another port over from Trusty's model. But it's not. It's
yeah.
So, it's at first, when I first saw it, I thought it was. But I like Napoleon and Lafayette. They're kind of cool, and it kind of brings in the same thing that you had in 101 with having animals that have ranks and stuff.
Right. And Napoleon is the same voice actor that did Chief from Fox and the Hound.
Oh, interesting.
So it's kind of a similar type of role, I guess. But yeah, I just love those two voice actors, and when they're together with most of those scenes, I just thought it worked really well.
Yeah.
George Lindsay as Lafayette and as Trigger is both two great roles for him. Did you hear Thurl Ravenscroft as the deep-sounding cat? Did anybody pick that up?
Yep.
I was like, that guy is deep-sounding. That has to be Ravenscroft.
Yeah. That's I think, hasn't he passed away since?
Yeah.
That would be a soundbite or an interview I would have loved to have had.
Oh, yeah.
Aww.
That would have been so awesome to talk to Thurl Ravenscroft.
Yeah, him and Candy Candido were just so deep-voiced, it was ridiculous. And without even having the scene, it seemed like it was effortlessly. The other voice actor I want to bring up, I know I mentioned him again, but I thought Paul Winchell was phenomenal as Shungon. He didn't have very many lines,
but
he sounded completely like that character, like you'd picture that character to sound.
Right.
And I'm a big Paul Winchell fan anyway, so I had to mention him again.
You know what, most of the voice cast, like, did a really good job.
Uh-huh.
Like they fit their characters.
Yeah, like I said, I don't care for Ava Gabor, but it's not because she did a bad job. It's just because I don't care for her voice.
Yeah.
But she still did a fine job playing that part.
Yeah. Phil Harris did an awesome job as Thomas.
I love Phil Harris.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone else can put put a resume that has three major Disney characters as much as he can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like Little John, Baloo, and Thomas O'Malley. Not many people can put, something that can match that up.
Nope.
Didn't he do another one, though? Wasn't there seem to remember he's done a lot of Disney characters.
Yeah, he was, let me think real quick for a second. He was also, he was a character in Rockadoodle, but that's something different.
Yeah,
these were his only three main Disney roles.
Yeah.
He might have been some, like, additional voices and something that never got credited.
Yeah.
But hey, if those are going to be the only three Disney roles you get.
Oh, nice yeah.
That's why nice not?
Exactly.
You're immortalized forever.
That's right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we're all in agreement that Thomas O'Malley is probably the best character and the geese are the worst characters.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Definitely. And the rest is kind of a mixture of, different levels.
It's like meh.
Yeah.
that's what I said in the very beginning. Meh.
Yeah, but you said it about the whole movie, jerk.
Anyway, yeah.
I would have said if I was on the 101 Dalmatians record.
Whatever. It's not our fault you had other things to do.
Yeah, I know.
Show must go on.
Showbiz.
Yes, getting into some behind-the-scenes segment here really quick. This film was the last one to be approved by Walt Disney himself and the first one produced after his death in 1966. The film took 4 years to produce at a budget of $4 million. Five of Disney's legendary nine old men worked on it, including the Disney crew that had been working 25 years on average.
So they had a lot of experience when they went to this one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can tell.
Yeah, just a little bit as far as the animation and stuff like that, since we're in that segment. I will say that is one thing that kind of bugged me a little bit about this movie. I know it's the same similar animation as is on, multiple other Disney films.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the fact that on this one, more than any other ones, for me it was almost distracting being able to see the amount of, like, I don't know what you want to call it, like the pencil lines or the actual drawing marks. And I know you probably can see those in other Disney movies, but I never have noticed it as much as I do with Aristocats.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone knows what I'm talking about, but you can, like, actually
I saw that, too.
Especially on the humans' faces and in their hair. Like, in the very first scene when it's Madame and I think it's with the lawyer.
The lawyer, yeah.
You can just see all the drawing lines everywhere, and I don't know, for some reason it was distracting for me on this one.
You can especially noticed the drawing lines when the two men, Edgar and the lawyer, were interacting when the lawyer first shows up.
Yeah.
And they're having that whole...
I'm sure Superfan Ken can give us some information as to why that might have been in this one more than other ones. Maybe they were using a little different technique. I don't know.
You mean Kevin, not Ken?
I was confusing our usual... Ustream
yes.
fan with our.
I mean, Ken fan. Might know because we are broadcasting this via Ustream. Ken Curry might know about the drawing lines, but the super fan is Kevin Cooper.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, that's the only thing I really had as far as animation wise. I mean, obviously, the milestone as far as the last Disney actual Walt Disney film, I guess. So that's kind of momentous.
Yes. Why don't you give us getting into the actual show, why don't you give us the 5-minute plot here, Kevin, and then Tara can take some of the trivia.
Okay, I'll try to do it in less than 5 minutes with that. But
yeah.
Basically, in the beginning of the movie, you have the news of the cats inheriting the fortune of Madame instead of Edgar. It goes to the cats first, and then after the cats are gone, then it goes to Edgar. So Edgar comes up with the idea that he is going to poison the cats, basically. So he gives them sleeping pills and takes them on a motorcycle ride to basically dispose of them. And that's when we're introduced to Napoleon and Lafayette, the dogs, and they kind of have an interaction with Edgar there, which, to make a long story short, leaves the cats stranded outside, where they run into the character of Thomas O'Malley, the alley cat, which I'm not going to say his whole name at this point. But anyway, They run into Thomas O'Malley, and, you know, they have the interaction. He and Duchess are falling for each other. He's not, basically at the beginning, not so keen on the idea that she has kids. And we basically have a long-running storyline here where eventually he wants to be with Duchess, etc., but Duchess says that she can't because she needs to go home to Madame because, you know, she can't leave her alone because the cats is all she had. So, meanwhile, we meet the geese, you know, we meet some other characters, etc. And then back at the house, the butler and Roquefort have a scene together where Roquefort finds out that the butler is bad and you know, he's basically devotes his rest of his role in the movie to helping the cats. Then we go back to Thomas O'Malley and Duchess and the kittens, and they meet the Scat Cat Gang, which leads us to another song, and basically another scene where Thomas O'Malley is willing to be the cat's father, but Duchess refuses him again. And then they return to the house where Madame lives, and the butler has one last chance to get rid of him. He puts him in a package to send to Timbuktu.
Along with Nermal.
Along with Nermal. I've never actually seen this work, but apparently it does in this movie. And the Roquefort gets the Scat Cat Gang to come help out, and basically the moral of the story is that the butler gets put in the package and sent to Timbuktu, so then the cats move in. Madame welcomes Thomas O'Malley into the family, and everybody lives happily ever after. The end.
The problem I have with this movie lies within the plot.
Uh-oh.
Enlighten us.
Every time I've seen a VHS cover or a DVD cover or a poster for this film, it shows Duchess and Thomas together with the kittens. So I always thought, and the one cat, the orange cat, kind of looks like Thomas. So I always... What?
Toulouse.
Whatever. It's a French name. I'm not fucking pronouncing it.
That's his name. I was just helping you out.
Yeah. They look not exactly alike, but Toulouse looks similar to Thomas. And at first, I always thought that he was the father of the kittens. So that's my big issue with the whole plot is that...
Your issue is that one of the kittens looks like Thomas O'Malley.
No, my issue is the fact that... It's not really with the actual plot. It's more with Disney. They market this with having Thomas and Duchess and the kittens on the cover of everything, but yet we don't meet Thomas until Edgar throws them off the bridge, like, you know, the Penguin's parents did in Batman Returns.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I don't have any problems with the plot of this one.
Neither do I. I just, the only thing I had an issue with was just Edgar.
Edgar was a little bit. He is one of the, I didn't say this before when we were talking about the characters, but he is one of the most, like, unassuming Disney villains of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you would not, if you just saw a picture of all the characters and someone said, point out the villain, I don't think anyone could.
He doesn't look like it.
Yeah, I don't even know who you would pick out as a villain just based on looks, because none of them look like they're villains.
Yeah, exactly.
No one ever suspects the butler, right?
Right, the butler did it, darn it. But yeah, it always takes me back that he's the bad guy. I'm like, what? Really?
I don't know. I kind of got the impression that he was before, like right when he started listening in on the conversation with the lawyer and what's her name?
Yeah.
But I didn't really get it until obviously... She says that the cats come first and then the butler.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you get it from that point on, but...
Yeah.
The lawyer actually looks more evil than him at times. Not when he starts singing and dancing and stuff, but like at the first time you see the lawyer, he looks almost more evil.
So you think something's up with the lawyer?
Yeah. You know, and then he's like needing help to get up the stairs, but then he can dance fine. I don't know. He's a crazy character, but at first, if you had to pick, I think you would pick the lawyer as the bad guy.
Definitely.
But yeah, I don't know. I thought the plot was pretty good. I mean, I'll give you, before we get into the trivia, I'll give you my two favorite scenes. My first favorite scene is easy because it's when Thomas O'Malley is first introduced and he has his song, because that's probably one of my favorite songs in the film. And I just think it's cool that he's just kind of strutting his stuff and walking around and, you know.
Yeah.
Being Mr. Cool Guy, but I also love, there's a scene where Roquefort has just gotten the Scat Cat Gang, and he tells them that the kittens are and the cats are in trouble,
yeah.
And the gang starts taking off, and then the, you know, Roquefort is slower and smaller, so he's behind them, and it looks like he's chasing them, and they go by that guy that's sitting, you know, out in the little cafe or whatever he is. And he's drinking, and he sees the mouse
chasing the cats.
And he's like, what the heck? And he pours out all his alcohol.
That's hilarious.
I love that scene.
Yeah,
those are my favorite scenes. I don't know if any of you guys have any favorite scenes or not.
I like this. I like when the two brother cats interrupt Marie in the piano lesson in the beginning when they go off key and all that with the piano and the paint.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
And the paint gets on the piano and stuff like that. I like that. I also like the introduction of Thomas O'Malley. Again, I just. For some strange reason, every time I hear Phil Harris's voice, not more so when he's playing animal characters, but I mean, it's kind of hard to imagine Little John in a Baloo suit. But
anybody have a guess what my least favorite scene is? Yes.
Yeah.
Tara, what about you? What are some scenes that you like in this one?
I like this. Also, goes back to the piano scene, more so with the painting when one of the brothers is painting, and he makes a drawing of Edgar.
Yeah, that's.
How that was so cute. The two brothers are just hilarious. I mean, when she's trying to do her piano lesson and they're fooling around.
She's all going to be proper, and they're like, "Screw that."
Yeah, we're not proper.
One other thing I didn't necessarily care for a lot is when Toulouse would try to hiss. Because I've never seen a cat that spits when they hiss. And he always, like, spit. Like, there was, like, liquid coming from his mouth.
I know.
So like, that's not how a cat hisses.
That's nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really funny for me. He'd try and hiss, like, you know, a wild cat, and I'd be like, what are you trying to do, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, I like that the fur was standing on end and that he would, like, you know, get all, like, his back would arch, but then I'm like, why is he spitting?
Yeah, I've seen a cat hiss, and when cats hiss, they don't spit.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
They show their teeth, and that's it.
Yeah, he would be growling, if anything. He wouldn't be, not growling, but he'd be, like, hissing, you know? He'd be
right.
Like,
yeah. No, they hiss sometimes, so.
Yeah. That's a little bit of a flaw there.
Nitro Streak in the chat says it's a kitten thing because they're not adults yet, so they don't know how to hiss properly just yet.
Well, but I've had kittens, and I've had kittens that have hissed, and they've never spit. So maybe it's just not an every kitten thing, but you know, I've had multiple kittens because I'm a cat person, and I've never seen them spit when they hiss. They don't make as much noise as the adult ones, and they don't have the growling effect, and they don't do it quite right, but I've never seen one spit.
He's trying to be an adult. Can't blame him.
But anyways, that's my one problem, I guess, with the movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Getting into some trivia, Tara, why don't you take some of the trivia points here?
Sure thing. So first up, we got the character of Scat Cat was designed to be voiced by Louis Armstrong. The character's look was modeled after Armstrong, the way he played his trumpet, his roly-poly physique, right down to the prominent gap between his teeth. However, at the last moment, for unknown reasons, Armstrong quit the film without recording a single line. His replacement, Scatman Crothers, was directed to pretend you're Scat...
Satchmo.
Satchmo.
Satchmo Louis Armstrong.
Satchmo.
Louis Armstrong would have been great, but I love Scatman Crothers too, so it's not like it's a bad replacement.
Yeah.
Mm. But Louis Armstrong was the man.
Yeah.
So that would have been cool if he would have done some lines in this one.
That would have been awesome. And then next, we got the Sherman brothers, Richard M. Sherman and Robert B. Sherman, whose father wrote the big Chevalier hit, Living in the Sunlight, Loving in the Moonlight, talked Maurice Chevalier out of retirement to sing the title song.
Yeah, and Maurice Chevalier is like one of the most famous French actors from back in like the 30s and whatnot. He was in movie Can Can and Gigi and a bunch of stuff. So yeah, they talked him out of retirement, and they actually talk about that on one of the special features on the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a pretty cool voice at the beginning of the film.
Yeah, it's very, very good voice.
Yeah.
And then also Eva Gabor and Pat Buttram were both starring together in the TV series Green Acres while recording voices for this animated film.
So they must have known each other pretty well then.
Interesting. And this was originally intended as a two-part live-action installment of the TV series Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color in 1954.
That would have been very strange.
Yeah. I'm actually glad that didn't happen.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad they put it together as a movie. Otherwise, it would have been like Cinderella 3.
Yeah.
Hey!
Let's not go there.
Cinderella 3 was good. It's Cinderella 2 that's bad. Get it right, dumbass.
Yeah, Cinderella 2, man.
That's not dumb. It's smart.
Dumbass.
Smartass. Not a dumbass.
Dumbass.
Oh, no. We got Thomas O'Malley's full name. Give it to
us.
Oh,
yeah. I got a mouthful here. Thomas O'Malley's full name is Abraham DeLacy Gusab Casey Thomas O'Malley. Ooh. Yes.
He says it in the song, and the kids actually call him it a couple times. It's kind of funny.
I can't pronounce that.
Yeah.
And the character of Uncle Waldo, the English Goose, was the last role of voice actor Bill Thompson, who died from a heart attack at age 58 shortly after the film was released. And this was Ruth Bazzi's first feature film. And the Goose sisters, Abigail and Amelia, are voiced by Carol Shelley and Monica Evans, who played the equally chatty Pigeon sisters, Cecilia and Gwendolyn, in the movie TV series and original Broadway production of Neil Simon's The Odd Couple in 1968. They also provide the voice of Maid Marian and Lady Cluck in Disney's Robin Hood from 1973.
Yes. So this is like the changing of an era. We have Walt Disney being done, Bill Thompson, who's probably like the second most prolific Disney male voice actor, being done. And then we have Ruth Buzzy starting, and it's almost like a shifting of the guards here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very interesting little trivia.
Yeah, yeah, but no Mickey Mouses and no Castle Thunder.
There's no hidden Mickeys.
There's nowhere really in the film to put a hidden Mickey.
Oh, sure, they could have somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but I'm sure they could have come up with something.
I don't outright hate the film, but it's not one of my Disney favorites at all. This is not a movie that I can put in for enjoyment whatsoever, but at the same time, I don't outright hate it. So,
tell me you hated it before you'd ever seen it.
No, I didn't. That's not what I said.
Okay, you said you weren't going to like it.
Yeah, that's what I said. Anyway.
You know what? This film wasn't that bad. Like, it wasn't. I sat through it, and I enjoyed it. I had a few laughs.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm going to put it in, like, my top, like, five Disney movies of all time or anything, but it's better than some of the crap.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's a lot better than some of the other stuff that we've seen Disney throw out there.
I don't know. I didn't want in Robin Hood give it a run for its money.
But Robin Hood, yeah, Robin Hood's definitely...
Robin Hood's way better than this. 101 is on the same level.
No, it's not. 101 is way better than this. Anyways, so yeah, moving on to the music segment. There is a soundtrack for this, surprisingly. Six songs are on the soundtrack. Only Thomas O'Malley, Cat O'Malley the Alley Cat, is on the purple disc, and Everybody Wants to Be a Cat on the orange disc for Disney Classic Disney 60 Years of Musical Magic. And on Disney Greatest Hits, this includes Everybody Wants to Be a Cat on the red disc.
Yeah, but there's some great songs in this one. I love Everybody. Everybody Wants to Be a Cat.
Be a Cat.
And then the Thomas O'Malley Cat. You know, I don't necessarily love the scales and arpeggios song, but it's a good, cute song for the little kittens. Mm-hmm. And I like the Aristocats opening theme. It's not like one of my favorite songs, but I just like hearing Maurice Chevalier sing that in his French accent and whatnot. So, you know, I don't necessarily... She Never Felt Alone, I don't necessarily care for that much, but... The rest of them, you know, they're not like Aladdin songs or, you know, Lion King songs or stuff like that, but they're pretty darn good.
I just felt, and Kevin and I talked about this in episode 86, the songs for Robin Hood fit the movie. The songs for 101 Dalmatians fit that movie. I just felt when I watched this, it's like, oh, hey, we're going to break into song now. Yay! And it's,
well, but it is written into the plot because... Number one, when the kittens are singing, it's supposed to show that they're aristocratic and that the ones doing art and they're training in music and stuff like that. So that one is kind of necessary.
Yeah.
and you have a group of people called the Scat Band. So they're allowed to bust into song whenever they want to. I mean, I can see how it seems like it's kind of like bust, you know, just all of a sudden having a musical number a little bit more than in Robin Hood, but it still kind of fits the plot. But Thomas O'Malley Cat is a pretty smooth transition, and Everybody Wants to Be a Cat, I think, I don't know, I just like that song a lot, I guess.
That's my favorite song in the whole movie.
Yeah. And there song. There was another song that was supposed to be on the, well, not necessarily supposed to be on the movie, but that was written for the movie. It's also, this is probably the best part of the DVD, is the special feature that it kind of talks about it. And it's actually with the writer of the song. He goes into what was the purpose of the song and how it was going to fit in. And it was supposed to be split into two different parts, and they actually show which parts. And they actually have a recording of the voice of Madame Hermione Baddeley. They have a recording of her, so they actually show or play that while they show the storyboards of what was supposed to happen. So it's kind of a neat little feature on the DVD that you can look for.
Yeah.
Not a great song, but it's just kind of interesting.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If, no, you're, if you're a huge fan of the film, why not? Go check it out.
Yeah, too many songs can ruin a movie. This one was right on that borderline for me.
Yeah, it had a little too much. It was bordering on boring.
Yeah. Yeah. Compared to Robin Hood, which was absolutely perfect.
Yeah, Robin Hood was immaculate. This was just meh.
And for those of you that are obviously not with us live on Ustream, just for your information, Mike is greatly outnumbered in the Aristocats.
I don't care, damn it.
Everybody agrees with me, just for the record.
I don't give a shit.
So it's on Mike Day.
Yeah. Always is.
Asshats. That's what I got to say to you, asshats right there, asshats.
He's calling all the people in Ustream asshats. That's not
No, specifically you, Kevin.
I'm used to that.
Oh, good. I thought you were calling me an asshat.
No. Hey, you know, just Kevin.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
So getting into the legacy segment for the release, the Aristocats was re-released to theaters on December 19th, 1980 and April 10th, 1987. It was released on VHS in Europe on January 1st, 1990. It was first released on VHS in North America in the Masterpiece Collection series on April 24th, 96. Wow, it took them that long to put it on VHS in the new... Oh, wow.
Wow.
And DVD on April 4th, 2000, in the Gold Classic Collection line. The Aristocats had its Gold Collection disc quietly discontinued in 2006. A new single-disc special edition DVD previously announced as a two-disc set was released on February 5th, 2008.
You know, based on the reviews we've been given the Rotten Tomatoes lately, the Rotten Tomatoes got a 67%, which is actually higher than Robin Hood got.
Fuck you, Rotten Tomatoes.
Just proves it's better than 101. Anyway, while this is rather low for Disney...
What were you saying? This has nothing to do with 101. Whatever.
Still classifies it as fresh. Of the reviews, 12 gave it fresh and only 6 gave it rotten. This is based on... And then they had 497 as far as like the user reviews. It gets 81%.
Yeah.
And Snoop Dogg gave it a positive review as well. I'm not sure why that's relevant.
I don't know either.
But we're giving you that information. Snoop Dogg likes Aristocats. And his name is Snoop Dogg. So that just proves it's not a dog-cat thing.
Anyways, there was supposed to be a direct-to-video sequel. The Aristocats 2 was supposed to be a direct-to-video sequel to this film. It was scheduled to be released in 2007, but the production was canceled in early 2006 after Disney acquired Pixar and canceled all projects not related to consumer product lines.
Which I'm glad that there was no Aristocats 2 ever, because it's not a movie that needed a sequel, but boo to them just bashing or axing things that couldn't be made into products. Damn
it's
business.
Money.
Greedy capitalist pigs.
They're greedy.
I'm not communist, don't worry. But apparently Mike has fallen off the face of the earth.
No, I haven't. Flipping the Ustream people off because they want to send me fucking snow. I don't think so.
That's because you flipped them off and they were mad because they're your audience.
Oh, we have tons of snow here in Toronto right now.
You can keep it.
Yeah, I kind of don't want it.
So we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some random audio. I don't know if we've got any voicemails for this episode, so we'll be back in a minute.
They would throw fruit at you.
Whatever. Anyways, we'll be back in a minute.
Dooncast will be back after these messages.
I go cuckoo for cuckoo bumps while listening to Dooncast.
This is Megatron, leader of the Predacons. And if you're hearing this, It means the Beast Unleashed podcast is now over. Yes. In the Beast Unleashed, myself, Steve Megatron Phillips, Pecan Court Michael Wilson, and TFG1 Mike review Beast Wars and Beast Machines in the very first podcast of its kind. Yes. In the podcast, we interview voice actors, writers from the show, and talk in-depth trivia between everything in between. So, if you're interested, you can tune in to the now-finished Beast Unleashed podcast over on GeekCastRadio.com. Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Excellent! Yes!
This is Dr. Wily, and I will destroy Mega Man while listening to Tooncast!
Hey guys, it's Mike Hunt, and we here at IGN have just put together a totally cool list of the top 100 anime. Oh my god, what's happening?
I am from the GeekCast Radio Network, and I have been sent from the cartoon gods to do away with your crappy top 100 list and to enlist all of the other geek gods from across the internet. With our powers combined, we will create the most epic top 100 list of all time and forever put you peons at IGN to shame. So go tell all the other morons at IGN to take cover, because the GeekCast Radio Network's top 100 animated series of all time list is coming soon.
Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight. I see a new episode of Tooncast coming this week.
Now back to Tooncast.
So, I'm going first, damn it. Final thoughts on Aristocats. It's okay. It's a nice little film. It's not my cup of tea, though, at all. 101 Dalmatians is easily better than this. Robin Hood is most definitely better than this. Hell, Lady and the Tramp is most definitely better than this.
Obviously, Mike's opinions are not all of our opinions.
That's for sure.
Not even close. So, my final thoughts. Like I said, I don't know, this is just a fun movie. It's not something that I would watch over and over again, but it's something I enjoy watching every so often. I love a couple of the songs. I love Thomas O'Malley as a character. It's just a fun movie for me. I'm not going to put it in my top 5 or top 10 list or whatever of all-time Disney movies, but I definitely am going to put it ahead of 101 Dalmatians.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to agree. I'm going to have to agree with you guys. Like, 100% agree. You know what? It's not a bad film, and you know it's enjoyable for the most part. I mean, you won't stab your eyes out when you watch this film.
Yeah, so, no, that's reserved for Snow White and the Seven Midgets.
So I mean, yeah, you know, I didn't have too many issues with the film, and you know, if you're interested, go watch it. If not, you're not missing anything. So you know, just.
What? The people that listen to this through iTunes and through whatever podcatching client, that they're going to be so lost with half of the stuff that we've talked about.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with the movie.
Just know that they're all agreeing with me.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But, yeah, this has probably been the best Ustream audience I've had ever.
They want us to put a disclaimer on all future episodes that your opinion is not the official opinion of the rest of us.
Fuck that. I'm second in command for GeekCast Radio. My opinion rules all as long as Steve agrees with me. None of you
remember
other,
all.
Nobody Mike else matters.
Opinions, Mike views opinions as right or wrong. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm like the voice of reason. I don't pick fights with people. I don't like
yes, I am Starscream to Steve's Megatron.
That's right. I'm Unicron, so bitches. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm like, play nicely, children. If you can.
I'm fine.
All right, so, Kevin, did you give your final thoughts?
Yep, we both did.
Okay.
Thanks for paying attention.
I wasn't sure. We've gotten so far off topic. I didn't want to forget anybody.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah, that would be
but normal.
There's only three of us, so.
Three plus the damn army that's in Ustream.
Yes, army. My Ustream army, I'm claiming them because I love them all.
Yes, thank you for tuning in, guys. We appreciate it.
Because with our powers combined, we will take Mike Blanchard out.
Oh, my God. Did you really have to put a fucking Captain Planet reference in? Oh,
Yeah, I made a Barney reference in one of the other episodes recently.
Anyways, thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each episode post. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCRN Tooncast. That's all one word. Mine is TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter, Tara?
Tara Blair.
And Kevin?
Well, for the moment, it's Boss K-Dog, but Mike keeps yelling at me.
You need to change it, damn it. You haven't used that nickname in forever. You need to change it.
Still my email address.
So? Switch to Gmail, damn it.
No, I hate it.
Anyways, become a fan on Facebook. Go to Geekcast Radio Network. Facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. Holy crap, I screwed that up. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this really, really weird, strange, off-the-wall episode of Tooncast and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be continuing the Disney Spotlight with the Little Mermaid franchise. For now, it is the second to last episode of the Disney Spotlight. In its current incarnation. For now, I am TFG and Mike with...
That's me, Optimus Solo from BehindTheVoiceActors.com.
And Tara the Rising Star.
Until next time. God, that was such a train wreck.
But at least they all know that Aristocats is better than 101 Dalmatians now.
I like the chicharroni like they make at home, or a healthy fish with a big backbone. I'm Abraham DeLacy. Giuseppe Casey. Thomas O'Malley. O'Malley the alley cat. I've got that wanderlust, gotta walk the scene, gotta kick up highway dust, feel the grass that's green, gotta strut them city streets, showing off my eclat, yeah, telling my friends of the social elite, or some cute cat I happen to meet, that I'm Abraham DeLacy, Giuseppe Casey, Thomas O'Malley, O'Malley the alley cat.
Everybody wants to be a cat, because a cat's the only cat who knows where it's at.
Tell me, everybody's picking up on that feline beat, cause everything else is obsolete.
Strictly high button shoes.
A square with a horn makes you wish you weren't born.
Every time he plays.
But with a square in the act, you can set music back.
Do the caveman days.
I've heard some corny birds who tried to sing.
Still a cat's the only cat who knows how to swing.
Who wants to dick long head dick and stuff like that?
When everybody wants to be a cat.